Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth in the book of 1 Samuel and chapter number 14, making some headway, really, in a rather long Old Testament narrative book, one of my favorite books. Honestly, I could read the stories of 1 Samuel over and over again, and I have. And John, I know that you have. I know that this is a book that's near and dear to your heart. You've taught at the college level, really, the life of David, and so much of 1 Samuel has been the object of your study over the years. But is it not amazing that as you read through it time and again, there are always new things? It's amazing.
It is amazing, Pastor, and it shows us just the depth of the Word of God, how that we can read it, but we reread it and read it again, and God just brings something out that's fresh, or you see something a different way for the first time. Scripture truly is amazing. It is a powerful book.
And I think there's value as well just in the way by which we do this podcast.
Yes.
So we're just a couple friends, honestly, and you, listener, you're the third part of this conversation, and we really feel your presence. But as we just talk back and forth about the scriptures and throw some ideas out there and pick up on them, I think it's a great learning method. And I think it's way more akin to the way that Jesus taught than a lot of the lecture-based teaching that we do today, because there's give and take. There's give and take. And Jesus was asking and receiving questions. And the method of learning back in those days was much more Socratic than it is today. And I enjoy it.
I enjoy it immensely, Pastor. I think as we talk back and forth about the Word of God, I think of iron sharpening iron, just two friends, you know, having a great time discussing the Word of God. And as you say things, you know, God brings things to my mind, seeing the Scripture. Oh, that's a great thought. And so I really do enjoy it. I love how God, the Holy Spirit, works in our hearts even as we, you know, talk about Scripture and gives us insight into ways to apply things in His Word.
I guess I would say, too, not to get down this rabbit trail too far, but it probably would be important for you, my friends, to have somebody in your life with whom you can consistently talk about the Word of God, even if it's just 10 minutes. Yeah, throw some things back and forth. Maybe read a passage together. Maybe this would be something that you and your spouse could do. Maybe this would be something that you and a friend could do if you're a teenager. And just this covenant that you're going to hold each other accountable, read the same scripture every day, and talk about it. It might even be that you would listen to this podcast with a friend. You're both listening to it, but then you talk about it. Talk about things you've learned or maybe applications you have. I think all of that is just so helpful. We are, as I said, in 1 Samuel chapter 14, and the Bible says expressly that the Lord, verse 23, saved Israel that day. The battle passed over unto Beth-Aven. And then watch what happens. We're talking now about the aftermath of the battle, verse 24. And the men of Israel were distressed that day. That seems almost like a non sequitur. It would seem like the next statement after such a battle as this would be that the men of Israel were overjoyed that day. But the men were distressed. Here's why. For Saul had adjured the people, saying, "Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies." So none of the people tasted any food. So apparently, Saul had said, "All right, until this battle is secure, I don't want anyone eating any food. If you eat food today, you're cursed. We're going to fast all day until this battle is won. When the battle is won, then we can eat." So he had adjured that. He had made this a solemn kind of group oath that they were taking together. And why were the men distressed? Well, let's read on. Look at verse 25. "And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come unto the wood, behold, the honey dropped. But no man put his mouth or put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore, he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, Thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened, behold, because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if haply the people hath eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? We're going to stop there for a moment. Boy, this is drama, because we find now the, what I would consider the very unwise oath of Saul among the people is coming in conflict with the wise words of Jonathan when the honey is found. So, John, just give me your preliminary thoughts about this odd story in the Bible.
Yeah, I think that Saul here, really, this story shows Saul's selfish pride. I want to be avenged of mine enemies. He thinks of himself, doesn't think of his people. I mean, it's hard for me to really understand hand-to-hand combat. I've never been involved with that. I was never a wrestler. I had friends who were wrestlers when I was a kid. I know a hand-to-hand combat, that is, you know, really fatiguing. And you've got to replenish your energy to keep on going. But Saul doesn't think about that. Saul just thinks, okay, I want to win quickly as much as I can. So don't eat anything. Just focus on fighting. A very rash, unwise, selfish statement.
Yeah, and it's a statement that doesn't take other people into account. It's a statement that only takes his own self-will into account. Think about it. Saul was unwilling to move against the Philistines. This was not a battle that he initiated. This was not a victory that was his. The Bible has clearly said God has given the victory. God has brought this to pass. And yet Saul, in classic Saul fashion, is trying to find some way to garner some measure of credit from something that doesn't belong to him. And the people of God are intimidated. The Bible says they're fearful. And what do they find? They find honey. Honey, high obviously in sugar, it's going to give you an immediate energy, an immediate boost. Honey in the Bible was not a staple crop. Honey showed up randomly in the Bible and was usually typical of the blessings of God. When honey showed up, this was God blessing. It was kind of like the Snickers bar of the day, so to speak. And yet when they came across this honey, nobody dared touch it because they were intimidated by the draconian leadership of Saul. I'll kill you if you eat. That does not sound like a loving, caring leader.
Not in the least. You know, Saul really does show where his heart is at. You know, and this was not the Saul of chapter 11 of 1 Samuel, just a few chapters ago. But Saul has gone downhill. His pride is growing more and more. And it is sad to see the state of affairs he is in, because he is not a man of God who's following God, but he's focused upon himself.
Another great lesson we learn in this chapter is something that we're going to see throughout the life of Jonathan. And that is, what does loyalty look like? Sometimes we talk about loyalty and touch not mine anointed and to blindly follow people. And that's not biblical. Jonathan respected his dad from the standpoint of following his authority. Jonathan was loyal and honored his dad his entire life. Jonathan died with his dad at Mount Gilboa. So no one can question the loyalty of Jonathan to the position of the king. But that does not mean that Jonathan respected his dad as a follower of God. And Jonathan already is seeing his dad's reluctance to act by faith. He's seeing his dad's reluctance to care for the people. He's seeing his dad's reluctance to follow God. And in the story, Jonathan, who did not know about the vow, because if Jonathan knew about the vow, he would have obeyed it. He would have followed it, even though he disagreed with it. But Jonathan did nothing wrong by eating that honey. He didn't know. And then when the people chastised him for it, Jonathan said, well, you know, that was an unwise oath. Because don't you see how my energy has been refreshed? Talked about his eyes being enlightened. Don't you see how my energy has been rejuvenated by just having a little bit of sustenance? And how much more could all of us have accomplished if we had not followed such a dumb oath, had not had such a ridiculous command, and we could have replenished ourselves and accomplished more for the Lord?
And I love how Jonathan just deals with this. You know, Jonathan just deals with this very matter-of-factly. This is just the truth of the matter. You know, it is. He's not trying to whisper, have someone a whispering campaign, trying to bring down his dad. Because you're right. He really did honor his dad. Even when David says, Jonathan, you're wrong about your dad, Jonathan tries to defend his dad later on. So Jonathan does have, a healthy view of his dad. He just says, this is a bad decision. And it reminds us, those of us who lead in any sphere, whether it's a mom or dad in a home, a person in a business, in a ministry, that when people say things that are contrary to what we might think, it doesn't mean they're rebellious. Jonathan's not rebellious at all. He's just stating the fact of the matter.
He's saying out loud what every one of those men knew. Look at verse number 31. And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint. That was not necessary, as Jonathan had just stated. They got the job done, but they were in a very depleted condition insofar, verse 32, the people flew upon the spoil. They took sheep and oxen and calves. Remember, Saul said, you can eat when the battle's won. So now the battle's won, they are just famished. And so they're taking everything, the sheep, the oxen, the calves, they slew them on the ground, and the people did eat them with the blood. Now, why did they eat them with the blood? Because they're so hungry, they don't want to take the extra time to prepare the food in a kosher way. So they're eating it just the way that is. Now, was it wrong for them to do that? Yes. But what precipitated that wrong? Saul's unwise oath.
And this shows us the importance of leadership. And leaders, obviously Saul did not make them do this, but Saul created an environment that made it very conducive to do wrong here. And so as leaders, people need to think, hey, what am I doing here? What's going on? Am I creating an environment that's going to make it very conducive for people to do wrong because of the situation I put them in?
Yeah. Fathers sometimes don't make their children do wrong. Like, I want you to throw a fit right now. I want you to act out in anger. But the Bible says that fathers can provoke their children to wrath. And I like what you said, John. We're not absolving these people of their sinful activity. They should not have eaten the blood. But the point is, Saul had provoked them to that. And so he certainly bore responsibility as an unwise leader in the situation. Hey, I think that's all we're going to talk about today, just for sake of time. But wow, there's just so much here for all of us. So I hope you've got your listening ears on, and I hope that you'll stay with us as we continue to wade through a very instructive passage of Scripture. Well, until next time, I want you to have a great day. Seek the Lord with your life. Tell someone about the Lord today, and we will talk to you next episode. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.